Welcome to Heroes Asylum, Episode 11. I felt a disturbance in the Force this weekend, did you? Now we discuss Star Wars Celebration.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome to the Heroes Asylum. I'm Thanatos Kane. So we are here for episode number 11, the Heroes Asylum. As always, you can find on Stitcher and iTunes and Spotify. We're also on the interwebs, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Welcome back, folks, to another lovely episode as we're doing episode 1-1 and episode 11. Phil Simms, by the way, New York Giants quarterback. Go, Phil. And as always, who joins me for this merry mess of content? Or contentment, as they say, the captain, oh my captain, the man who beat Captain Jack Sparrow for the Black Pearl itself, Mr. Captain Mike Jones. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm great. So what? We're a pretty episode today, or is this going to be the pretty one?
This is the pretty episode.
The nice and pretty episode, because the others have been a little dark and angry lately.
A little wonky. Yeah, there's a little anger going on in the last couple episodes.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Hey, you know what? The wrestling one brings the worst out of us.
Oh, boy, I don't blame us. If you ever get a chance to hear that, kids, check it out. It's a lot of venom coming from my mouth. And the one who's supposed to be venomous and angry and full of contentment is Mr. Captain Mike, and he was actually the good cop. So just give it a check when you ever get a chance to. It was a WrestleMania preview. That was our last episode. So
Yeah. And hopefully we're putting into play, hopefully having some special episodes like that for the up-and-coming pay-per-views. I've been out of the wrestling world for a while,
yeah.
And after that episode, I had so much fun. We were like, yeah, we need to start doing those more
often.
Yeah,
I think the plan is going to be going forward. We're just going to do like the main pay-per-views, like probably Mania. I think the next one we'll attempt to do is maybe SummerSlam.
SummerSlam,
good, Survivor yeah. Series, Rumble. I think we'll just do the main big ones. Like the other ones, you know, I'm not really worth my time, so, or your time. Yeah. Just saying, I'm not trying to throw in any more negative shade, but, you know.
No shade.
You know, no shade.
We ain't hot in the shade here.
Hot in the shade, it's a good Kiss album, yeah. By the way. Michael Bolton's on it. Anyway, as always in the Heroes Asylum, we'd like to start out by going to the Admissions Ward. Captain Mike, what do you have for us in the Admissions Ward this week?
All right, guys. So, Admissions Ward started off here. So, we're going to talk about Shazam. We reviewed Shazam a couple of weeks ago for the premiere. And just going over the numbers, and it's done tremendous. This is ranking right now the second highest, I think, for the opening weekend for DC, which that's saying a lot. Weekend results are dialed into about $204 million. Worldwide, expected to continue to be number one for this weekend. We're on Sunday night right now, so yeah, it's looking good. This will be the second weekend in a row that it's been at the number one.
I got the Box Office Mojo actually right in front of me, Mike. And
oh, did you? Okay, yeah, perfect. I looked mine up
talking,
yesterday.
Yeah, this is the current. It's at 25.2. It won the weekend. Hellboy, 12. That's
yeah. Well, Well, I've got our Hellboy review here in a moment. So because I was one of the ones that braved the theater for it.
Good for you, sir. But Shazam, I'm kind of happy it's making the money. It's not gonna make a billion. I mean, there's just no way. If it comes to 500 or 400, it's a success either way. So you know, bravo DC. You know, making a really good movie after Aquaman. I mean, it's not gonna make, like I said, not gonna make the money that Aquaman did. But it's another victory. You know, small steps for
DC.
Yeah,
I think by Friday they had announced that it had, you know, made its money back and then some. So we're definitely, you know, we're in line for a definite sequel.
Yeah, there's
on it. So yeah, I wouldn't, no worries about that. We will see Shazam returning, and hopefully, you know, we'll see a little Shazam and Black Adam action.
I think that's, I mean, if anybody's watched the movie, they kind of alluded.
Oh yeah,
like
there's
that. No
definitely
spoilers. There's definitely some, you know, allusions to Mr. Black.
Yeah, there's hints. Himself. There's definitely hints. So we definitely have that.
Yeah, it's a whole DC world too. So it's like, I said, I like the film, and I'm glad it's making the money. So that means we're gonna see another one. So
can't wait. I think Zach really brought it home for the DC world. So it's you know, that's a strange and interesting world we live in, where, you know, our holy trinity for DC is Aquaman, Shazam, and Wonder Woman right now.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that the holy trinity is those three, and the guys they can't get right are probably the two biggest comic book icons of all time? It's just mind-boggling. But
I still think we need a break for the two big ones, and let the rest of the universe breathe and grow, and then they can come in, I think. So what I did, yes, like I was saying yesterday, I actually had a busy day on Saturday. I hit the Daytona Beach Comic Con, and I'm gonna go ahead and just send that over to Captain Mike that's out on the field right now. He's gonna give you a review of the Daytona Beach Comic Con. So take it away, Captain Mike.
Thank you, Thanatos Kane and Captain Mike. I am here live at the Daytona Beach Comic Convention here at the Emory Riddle School. This was my first actual Daytona Beach Comic Con, and I have to tell you guys, I was not disappointed in the least. The booths here were well put together. The folks out here selling some of their merchandise and the collectibles they have, great group of guys. Always wanting to talk and you know, help you out with what they can. And then the artist alley, I had got a chance to meet some really fine artists out here, and they were so open and, you know, personable with me, just wanting to get to talk about what their current projects are, what they've done in the past. And I got to tell you guys, next time Daytona Beach Comic Con comes around, definitely get out here and see what they have, you know, what's going on. Some fun cosplay. I actually got to talk to a up-and-coming author of a fantasy novel, so hopefully, you know, everything works out for them, and they'll have their own booth here next year. But it was definitely a fun weekend. So next time, guys, get on out here, and I'm gonna turn this back over to the boys in the studio.
All right, thank you, Captain Mike. Yeah, he it sounded like he had a blast out there. So
yeah, it sounded like he had a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, so yeah, it was, and I got to tell you, man, be honest, yeah, it was a fun time out there. But right after the Daytona Beach Comic Con, I thought I'd keep my geek going strong. I ended up going to see Hellboy at the theaters.
How was that?
I feel the reviews a little bit. I think the reviews are extremely harsh on the movie.
It's killing it.
They've been really killing it. After watching it, I really feel this could have been a two-parter, maybe even extended out to a trilogy. They did rush the script a lot. I felt that there were characters in there and moments in there that they kind of skimmed over. And I think if they would have taken their time to spend an extra 10, 15 minutes on explaining that or exploring that part of either that character's history or that moment in the universe's history, I think they could have extended that out to a, you know, like I said, at least it's a two-part movie, and really fleshed out that world and those characters, because the actors on it did a tremendous job. David Harbour, I wasn't Ron Perlman, but Ron Perlman's a hard one to really follow up. He did his best. He did his version of Hellboy, and again, I just think if more time with that character to flesh him out, I think it would have been a much better movie. Watching this, I got so excited because my mind started to wander about things like you and I have talked about. This was a true horror superhero movie, and I just kept watching this going, God, this could have been an Etrigan movie. The way it looked and the grit in it and the demons that they had in the background and the hellfire and all that, I just was like, oh my goodness, this could be such a great Etrigan movie. But knowing that, I can see where they can go and build that and build the magical DC world, basically.
So from what you're telling me, the movie was okay. You liked some of the things that were going on. The actors were solid, but not great. It's basically missing the presence of Ron Perlman. And
it is, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, so it's just okay. I mean, that's what I kind of figured. I mean, when Ron left the project, you know, when they started doing this new version of Hellboy, I wasn't up to it. When I saw the trailers, I kind of dug it. And after everything I've read, I'm not going to take their word for granted, and I will see it myself probably sometime this week, maybe tonight, who knows. But I haven't been thrilled about it. Like, I like Golden Army, and I like the first Hellboy with Perlman. Those, to me, are great, but this one just didn't look, and from what you're telling me right now, I'm sensing your tone, you just didn't think that they put enough into it. It's a rush job, so.
They if they put enough into it to make the story they told, give better. They should have made it a longer movie or a two, like I said, two, or just could have taken this whole thing, made a trilogy out of it. The visual effects, the visual of it was that was very shocking. I loved what I saw. They just needed to fine tune it, and like, yeah, I mean, Ron is a big shoes to fill. He really is. I mean, it takes a
literally.
Lot
he's
to...
a big man. I think yeah. He's like 6'8".
I mean, the look of Hellboy was very reminiscent of Mike Mignola's work. You know, there a lot of what you saw was straight out of the comic books. That's the one thing I'll give it. The visual side was more Hellboy comic than Ron Perlman's Hellboy was. To me, I liked Ron the first two Hellboys, but it was a little too cartoony. It wasn't as dark as what Hellboy was to me when I've read it. And I had read where they were talking about doing a sequel to or a third part to Hellboy the Golden Army, and I guess Del Toro wasn't into doing it, and that's when Ron left, and so they went ahead and found it. The stories are ripped right out of the Hellboy pages, so it's not like they've created their own background story. This is right out of Hellboy. I think they took like three story arcs, if I remember. Yeah. I know there was a little bit of like Hellboy in Mexico. I'm trying to remember the other. There was like I said, there was about three to four story arcs that were kind of in place. So I think if maybe they had focused their energy on just one story arc or maybe two, it wouldn't have felt, as, like I said, just kind of holy. It's a funny way to speak of Hellboy, but yeah, the plot was a little holy. It had things that just jumped over so fast. I'm like, what about that? That I want to know what about that. Where did that come from?
Like I said, I guess it's a pass for me, but I'll check it out. I mean, I'll see what it's all about. So, good on you for watching. So,
yeah, and it takes a lot of balls. I'll give them this much. It takes a lot of balls to debut a superhero movie in the same month as Avengers.
They
sandwiched themselves between two big ones, and I think that was part of it too. It's we've seen. As audience members and watchers of these movies, you're talking about highly produced, highly glossed productions of Shazam and the Avengers, and this was really done by an independent movie company. The way it was shot, you could tell that they saved a little bit on the budget because of like reshoots were done inside the same buildings.
Oh boy!
So there was that was the one thing. It was one of those things that just kind of caught my eye. I was like, wait a second, I've seen that building. Hey, that was earlier. So, but that, like I said, definitely give it a shot. It is worth it. It is fun, and it's just a different whole. It is a different superhero movie, but it's something I think you would like as well because it does delve into the supernatural and the darker side of the comic book world, and I think you'll see that as well. If you go in there thinking like I did, going, wow, I could see Constantine or Etrigan, in these worlds. I could definitely see that if they can continue that part of it. I think that'll be great.
Okay, so that's your review of Hellboy. Appreciate that, Mike. And what else do you have for us?
Well, today, this weekend was Star Wars Celebration, so we got a whole bunch of goodies and nuggets throughout this. We finally got. The announcement of Disney Plus, they finally did announce the name. Disney Plus was always sort of there, but they never really made the official announcement of what they're going to do. So they had finally announced that it's going to be $6.99 a monthly charge, which that just puts them in straight up competition, if not beating up Netflix. They did say after the first year, there'll probably be a slight increase, but you know what? $1, $2 still puts you, in competition with Hulu and Netflix.
They have a whole rundown of shows. I mean, usually when you started like a new channel like DC did last year, they had, Titans was their big thing and Young Justice. That was just two programs, and they were like, and I mean, they had stuff from their DC library they're going to throw on there anyway. But Disney Plus is coming out swinging. I mean, the lineup
they aren't dropping all of these at once. They are going to be dropping. One or two here. I know, the big one that everybody's talking about is the Mandalorian. That's going to be the first one. But the other ones are slowly getting into production. So I think what you're going to see is kind of what DC did is, hey, we got Titans. Hey, in a month or two, we're going to have, Young Justice. Oh, by the way, a month after that, we're going to be dropping, you know, Doom Patrol. And I think what they're, I think that's kind of their plan, is to keep it a little fresh, drop every couple of months a new show. And then, I mean, but it's Disney. They have a well of just anything they can pull from, just not Disney, not just Marvel or the Star Wars or the Fox. You know, they have everything right now at their fingertips. So we're looking at a November 2019 launch. So I'll make sure, I've already told my boss, one of my paychecks, just write it straight to Disney.
Well, I guess, Mike, we'll be working for Disney one day. So
I'm just like, you know, just that one paycheck. Just write that whole, you know, with everything that's coming out, the movies, you know, the streaming service. Yeah, just definitely write them out. But as far as this goes, a list of shows, we have Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, a what if animated series. They also announced the Mandalorian, the Cassian Andor series is also coming. And they also had announced I love the title of this, WandaVision. That is the name of the show, and it's supposed to be the Scarlet Witch and Vision.
You know what it took me back to? I don't know if you remember, I don't know why I thought it. Do you remember that old TV show, Remote Control, from MTV, by chance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Remember?
That's where...
What's her name started?
Oh, you had Kari Wuhr.
And
what's it? He was doing the news on Saturday Night Live for so long. Colin. Yes.
Colin something. I forgot his name.
That's what I remember, because when he just started to jump on Saturday Night Live, I'm like, Remote Control, yes.
Like the whole logo about it kind of had like a retro vibe. When I saw it, I thought it was like, are they doing like a version of Remote Control or like WandaVision?
Of the WandaVision. See, I didn't see the logos. I had just read the article about it. I hadn't really gotten a chance to see the logos.
When you get a chance, look at the logos. They're pretty cool looking. Yeah. I mean, it kind of sells a story on its own. It's like WandaVision, okay. And then it says Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki. I'm like, oh wow, they're making all these series.
Yeah,
I mean,
And just, guys, remember, they're also going to have, the Simpsons as well. And then if they ever wanted to, you know, to delve into the other worlds that they own of, you know, aliens, and, you know, they can, like with you, you've been talking about reading the Aliens Resistance comic book.
Very good.
Imagine if they were like, hey, you know what, we've got the Predator and the Alien world of comics and books that they have out there. They would imagine if they decided to go that route, too. But what it's saying is 25 new shows in the first year, so that's great as well. And they were saying about 500 to 600 movies will be eventually available, and you know we're talking all the Disney movies. Captain Marvel will be the very first Marvel movie not sent over to Netflix. That will not, you know, that's going straight to Disney Plus when it gets ready to jump into the streaming. So that tells you where they're going. On those,
yeah. I mean, we all knew this. It's kind of like when they canceled the Netflix series. I mean, everybody's like, "Well, it's the ratings." No, it wasn't the ratings. That was just slowly them gonna integrate it into Netflix eventually.
What I read with the cancellation of, you know, Daredevil and just the whole Marvel world in Netflix. It was really Netflix saying, "We're putting money into a product and a property that we don't own anymore." You know, we're putting money into something. It's like renting an apartment. You're putting money into something you're not going to own at the end of the day. So that's why they're like, well, let's back off, let them take it over. And you know, we're not going to make money anymore. I know it's the business side of what we love, and we don't like to see the business side because it ruins our dreams and it breaks our hearts, but it is unfortunately what it is. I hate to say it that way, but it's one of those ones. You know, I don't fault Netflix for doing what they're doing. I know a lot of people hated them, but you got to think, if you were in a business yourself, would you put money into something that you're not going to get a return on? So
I just can't wait till all the series are coming out. Everything they've done so far, or like that I've seen, I mean, it's mind-boggling what's coming to Disney. And I think what's happening, if you can tell, I mean, after pretty much Endgame, the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe is just going to change. I mean, literally, it's going to change. I don't think it's going to be big in scope, because Infinity War is kind of like a huge storyline, and it's kind of like wrapping up 21 movies. And I mean, where they go from here, I think they got to go a lot smaller.
You think so?
I
mean,
Yeah, they're going to go a lot smaller. But I think eventually it's going to lead. No, I don't think they're going to do bigger for a while. I think they're going to take a little break and just, like, you know, do, like, because I heard a Hawkeye series is coming too.
Right.
A Hulk series is coming. So
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wanted to do the Hulk one. I finally found that article after
found the article.
Oh no, I actually had to find it. I didn't see it on our Heroes Asylum page. I had to go out and look for it. I was like, where is this thing? So, but yeah, now, I mean, I'm in the TV world, yeah, or in the streaming world, yeah. But I think still in the cinematic world, no, they're going to go big. You still have Guardians of the Galaxy 3 coming out. You have a sequel to Captain Marvel. You know that's going to go big. They have to, and not have to, but I mean, it would be illogical. Take a Star Trek wording here, but it would be illogical of them to, ignore Nova. You know, to bring in the character of Nova.
They named the Nova Guard.
I mean, just but to ignore that character, especially you're still going to have, like I said, you've got Guardians 3. So I don't think the cinematic world is going to go small. I can definitely see the streaming world going small, just like how Netflix was. It toned it down to focus on one area, and I think that's what we're going to see on the streaming. But cinematic, I think we're still the universe is just now really open to them.
It's like I said, it's what's coming now. I think, like, I'm just guessing here. What I think they're going to do is they're going to go small with these intimate stories.
Oh yeah, that's
character development, all that stuff. And I think eventually they're going to start building that cinematic universe from the streaming side into the movies. And I think the next big thing, if we get, and I'm just guessing here, speculation. Don't write this down. Don't quote me on it. I think they're going to do Secret Wars. I think that's the most logical way to go. I think what's going to happen at the end of Endgame is, I don't think Cap or Tony die. I don't think either of them die. I think what's going to happen, and like I've discussed with you before, in the animated Avengers series, if anybody's ever watched it, there is a season where the original Avengers, I think at the end of season 2 or 3, they somehow get flung into a different dimension. And the next season of season 3 or 4, I think it's the new Avengers basically trying to find a way to get them back. So I think they're going to do some kind of form of that. We'll incorporate these newer characters there. You'll still have like a post-credit scene of, like, you know, maybe Tony Stark talking through like another dimensional wall of some sorts. I mean, you'll see things like that, and eventually, like, down the road, they'll bring them back. But I think that's where they're going to go. But lots of good stuff coming for Disney Plus, Mike. Lots of good stuff.
Well, I agree with you half on what you're saying. I don't think they'll go the route of them, like, vanishing. I mean, these actors aren't going to hang around that much longer. You know, our actors are getting older. But I do agree with you on the Secret War aspect. I think the talk that they had with X-Men and Fantastic Four, that, you know, they have announced their plans for the next 5 years. We're not going to see anything from them. I think in the meantime, they're going to build the new secondary characters that are now going to be their primary characters. They're going to build them up to lead into Secret War, and this will be the Secret War that we want with X-Men and Flash. I could see that at the 6-year mark. Wow. And most people, you know, I heard a lot of people freaking out. What do you mean 4 or 5 years? Well, you got to realize most movies that they're talking about currently right now at this very moment, you know, they haven't even started production they've just announced doing Doctor Strange 2, and they haven't even really talked much about Black Panther 2, but they're going to do that. But you got to realize any movie that they're talking about to make today, it's going to take 2 years with production, writing, getting it out there, everything. So 4 or 5 years is not that really that long from now. So I think what they're doing is they're letting what they have in their phase that's rolling forward right now, they're letting that go. And I think we'll see some little Easter eggs or little hints of what those X-Men and the Fantastic Four will probably be. And then again, 4 or 5 years from now is not that long. It'll jump really quick.
Yeah. So do you think they're going to start small and build up again, or do you think it's just going to be something completely different?
If I put a gun
to your head and I asked you right now, what do you think they're going to do? What are they going to do?
I think what they'll do is they'll have to probably most likely just refresh. Something you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago about, you know, introducing the X-Men into this world is I'm looking at how they're laying it out, and the only way I could see it happening, and again, I, you know, if I can be trust, I understand, but if they take these stories and they just drop mutants all of a sudden, just woo, they're here now, wow, if people are just now getting these abilities, we just kind of lose everything because you lose the importance of those characters. You lose the importance of Magneto and going through World War II and being, you know, beaten down as a Jew. You lose Professor Xavier and his mindset and his peace love, you know, from being in the 60s and the 70s. And you lose all of that if you automatically drop these characters now because these people didn't live through that during the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that origin with the Nazis. I think they're going to have to change that up, make it more
Well, that's
modernized.
What I'm saying. That's where you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where I think Marvel painted themselves into a corner of never acknowledging that mutants were out there. And, you know, they're going to lose all of the X-Men stories if they just go, oh, well, you know what? People are now being born with these abilities. What do you mean, just now being born?
Did they sort of have, like, a name for them in Age of Ultron? They called Quicksilver and Wanda what, the Enhanced?
Yeah.
It's not quite mutants, it's not,
but that was their chance to actually explain them, to kind of delve more into what are they. And they're just saying, well, there are people out there that have these abilities, but never address them. Just leave that out there. I mean, and I know the Fox Marvel deal wasn't in place at this point at any, you know, in their minds when they were doing those movies, but at least kind of leave that open just in case, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's all.
Mean,
and I just
look at, I believe in that studio that they'll find a way to intro them.
I'm so sure. I just don't want them to lose their library of stories that they can tell. Like I said, you're cutting out Magneto and Wolverine being born back in the 1800s. You're losing that backstory of that, you know, bad gas character. Like I said before, you're losing the Apocalypse character, who was part of one of the biggest, or not just the biggest, but several of the biggest story arcs that X-Men ever had. So you're losing your back library if you do it to where they just automatically appear. That's why I hope they don't do something like that. The time travel thing I don't like, but if that could be a way for them to correct that mistake. You know, something happened at a molecular level back in time, and now all of a sudden the mutants are there, and now the Marvel characters that come back after the end of Endgames are looking at a world of, wait, well, that's not how it was when we left, but everybody's alive again.
It's interesting what they can do now.
Yeah, it's so much, yeah.
There's just so much stuff they can do, and I mean, like I said, I mean, remember for years I've discussed with you about Disney, DC having all this gold, and they haven't been able to use it correctly. Now, you know, the best thing for Marvel fans is, like, now Disney has all this gold, and these are the guys who actually know what to do with it. So,
right,
it's going to be like, and now they have a streaming service. I mean, just a lot of things.
Oh yeah, they've got so many possibilities. It's just how they handle them.
How they handle them. So, you know, and they got Kevin Feige up there. So I don't like, they're not gonna.
I understand. He's human though. He can make mistakes. Most people forget that the whole Marvel DCU hasn't been all you know. You know, roses. They've been some stinkers in there too, but people try to ignore them.
A lot of stinkers.
So everybody's like, "Oh, whoa, no, Marvel's great. Marvel's great." I'm like, "Yeah, you Dark World, what?" So, like I said, yeah, they're all out there. But so as far as news for the weekend, I mean, that's really all we have for the admissions award this weekend. So, I mean, it's been, you know, other than that, it's really not much has happened.
Yeah, it was kind of like a little slow week.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really big, but I mean, there was this one tiny thing that I don't think anybody really heard about it on the internet. Oh. Was that's a Star Wars dropped a new trailer.
Really?
Yes. We are now facing the rise of Skywalker.
Oh.
Rise. So, man, so what did you think? I mean, that we...
Well, I think for something like
you,
this...
Oh, and by the way, you pissed me off, by the way. I'm sitting at work. Hey, did you see? No, dude, I didn't see nothing.
I thought you had, because I didn't know. I mean, I'm sitting there driving to work, and I'm, like, freaking out, and I'm like, I was going to pull the car over. That's how bad it was. I'm like...
I had to wait for lunch. I was like, "That no, I don't. That son of a bitch. I can't. Do it. Hurry up, go to lunch."
So, to do this trailer thing, I thought what I would do, Mike, and I have it synced up because I knew you were going to talk about this. is I have the actual trailer right now, and I think what we should do is do sort of like a frame-by-frame analysis of it.
A blow-by-blow, so to speak.
A little bit kind of like a blow-by-blow, what's going on, because it's not really a long trailer. It's a teaser trailer. So,
To be honest, I kind of tell you, I don't need anything else. They can just do that and just every once in a while just remind me of the date that's coming out. I don't need to see anything else from them.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think the most anticipated thing was the title itself and the trailer, and they gave you some stuff. So I'm going to queue up my tablet right now.
Perfect.
And I'll just sort of describe what's going on, and we'll just sort of talk about it. So give me 1 second, and
no problem. Actually, I might as well do that myself.
And so I'm just going to queue it up, and I'm going to start from the. Hold on.
You folks at home, if you want to go ahead and pull out your phone. Pull out your phone, turn on your computer. You want to queue it up? We're gonna
queue it up.
Watch it.
So I'm gonna queue it up in three. So three, two, one, and here we go. Now the trailer starts off with the normal Lucasfilms arch as it always does, and we have heavy breathing by Rey here. She's got a new outfit. Apparently she did her laundry, so good for you, Rey. Now, what planet do you think is taking on? Is this Jakku or Tatooine, you think?
I don't know. I almost want to say it's a different planet. I don't think it's either one.
Okay. So
I know a lot of people want to go back home and to see this. I mean, logically, it should be Tatooine if we are going with the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
I could see them going back maybe to look for signs of, you know, where was Anakin from? You know, this was the planet that he was born. Maybe to go find something that Luke had hidden, that.
There's the blue lightsaber being lit and a TIE interceptor. Is that Kylo Ren's TIE fighter?
I don't know, because when they show the inside and the guy's wearing the gloves,
it looks like his TIE fighter.
Yeah, and something you and I were talking about was I look at that the scene and I just think it's just shot for the trailer. Honestly, I don't know if that's actually going to be in the movie. The feel and the way it looks.
There's Billy Dee. Good to see him back. Best part of the trailer.
We got to slow down there, dude. Bring it back. You're going too fast. Hit pause every once in a while.
Right,
we can't do frame by frame if you're watching them all at once.
Well, I was trying to pause it, but you kept going on a little tangent, so I was just going to let you keep going.
That's what we're doing. That's what we do, remember? Right, Heroes Asylum does tangents. That's going to be on the shirt.
Name it Tangent Asylum. Okay, so we're going to stop here at the desert. So this is a TIE Interceptor, and I guess let me just move it right there. Give me 1 second, folks. Having a little difficulty here. Okay, so I'm going to stop it right about here. Now, this blue lightsaber that's being lit up here by Rey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, okay. Yeah.
What do you think? Is this the rebuilt Luke Skywalker lightsaber, or is this her own design?
It looks like Luke's. It really does. It looks... Because I don't know if she's been trained to find them, and if there are any kyber crystals out there. The classic look. That's why I was saying I think from the things that were on just that beginning part of the trailer, it looks like I think that was just filmed for just that part.
Yeah, I don't think this is in the movie at all.
But at the same time, with me saying that, I could think, you know what, if this is the final battle, if this really is in there and this is like the final showdown, I could see her using as kind of like poetic justice. I'm going to cut you down with, you know, Master Luke's, Scott, you know, lightsaber.
Okay, so the next frame we have here is a ship which appears to be going to some kind of desolate planet.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking at that. I was checking that out. I really couldn't tell what that was.
I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to look at it. I mean, it looks like a miserable planet. I mean, what was that planet in Rogue One that sort of looked like this, kind of like dingy and...
That was the first one that popped into my head. I'm trying to remember the name of it, where they were doing all the scientists were being held that were designing the Death Star. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. That was my first. I was like, yeah, it's kind of rainy and nasty looking. But I just couldn't tell what it was. It's a planet I don't think we've seen before. Which, you know, they're always good at introducing a new world for each movie. That's the one thing I'll give them, is they always will introduce you. You know, we, you know, first one, we always, you know, we had Tatooine, and then second one, we had Hoth and Bespin. And so I think I think it's just another one they're going to introduce to us, another weird planet name. Yeah. A new messed up name we got to learn.
Doesn't that ship look like the back of the ship that was in Force Awakens that supposedly had Rey's parents on there?
It kind of does. That, and it almost, I almost had, saw like a bit of a the Jedi fighter that they had from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
it kind of had that dual engine look too. So I that's why I couldn't tell if it was a big ship. A portable ship, but yeah, definitely I didn't think about the Rey's parents one. That, you know, I thought about right after you made that comment.
Next one we have here is Kylo Ren doing his rock bottom impersonation.
Yes.
Doing the rock bottom, kicking ass. Looks like he's got the cross saber again.
Yeah, and that's and another interesting planet. It's just red, misty clouds, which look pretty cool. You know, he's got him and a few of the First Orders behind him. So, yeah, that was a pretty cool-looking one.
And next one we have here is the rebuilding of the helmet, I guess.
Yes. Now, look at those hands. That's not Rey. Or, nope. I mean, that's not Kylo. That's a hairy palm.
So Chewie's doing it?
No, I don't think so. No, but, I mean, it could be somebody, maybe another Wookiee. But it was very, like, blackish skin and darker fur. But, yeah, it was a...
Tell you what, I kind of like the design of this new helmet. It's like they damaged, so they're kind of like just piecing it together.
Yeah,
it has like those red elements on the side, like scarred up. I kind of dig it. You know,
because the last time we saw it was
he smashed it.
Yeah, he smashed it on the elevator.
Okay. Next one, we got Poe and Finn on the mountain over here.
Yes,
both looking like Nathan Drake from.
I told you. I think they raided Han's closet. Man's gone, man. Let's get his boots.
So what do? They take his ship and they take his clothes. That's...
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Finn. He's got the blue pants with the red stripe. That's Han's pants, right? From the first one. From New Hope. It's like, really, dude? Guy's not even cold yet. You're gonna stealing his pants, huh? So with looking at that, though, that was probably the first one I put that their time had passed, because, you know, Finn's hair has gone, you know, there's length to Finn's hair.
Got a little bit of froey stuff.
Yeah, and I know they had announced that, you know, there would be some time, but they really hadn't said how much time, but can't really tell from the pictures.
All right, next one we got here is one of our favorites, Billy D.
Oh,
Lando, back in the Falcon again.
The feels hit me, man. Then I saw, did you see the picture online? Of the same thing of it was a scene, or it's like a still of like when Luke got onto the Millennium Falcon, he popped his head into the cockpit. There's a still online of Billy Dude doing the same thing.
Oh really? No,
I'll have to get email that over to you or send that over to you. Yeah, okay. It looks like him doing the same thing that Luke did, just kind of like popping in, looking into the cockpit, but he's got the Billy D grin, you know.
Yes, he does. He's got like, that smile. He's 81 years old and he's still got it.
He's like, I'm back, baby. I told you I'd be back.
Yeah. Hey, well, before we move on to the next frame, I'm gonna have a little question for you.
Sure.
What are the chances that the Falcon gets destroyed in this movie? Because you talk about a ship that's been around for.
Yeah, I would not be happy. I may join the dark side, so to speak, with somebody else if that happened. Everything that's happened up to this point, I understand growth and changing of characters, but there are just certain things you don't touch. Same thing with something that, you know, we're not done with the trailer yet, but something you and I mentioned. Where the is R2?
Yeah, no
R2. You know, that's like, you know, R2 dying or C-3PO dying. It's just like, you know, the Falcon would be just like on those same levels, you know, the Falcon, you know, exploding. Because the Falcon really is taking on a character on itself, and even more so after Solo. And because now we know, you know, it was L7 that's now in there. And that understands, do we put more understanding to the quirky personality of the ship, you know, dropping out of, you know, light speed when it wants to, or not going in when it wants to. So that would hurt. Yeah, that would be a big sting.
It's kind of like when I was watching Wrath of Khan for the first time, and you know, that moment where the Enterprise destroyed, and that's just like a moment that just lives in time, and you're like, oh god, like I think was it part two or was it part three? What, I think it was part two, though, where the Enterprise gets destroyed for the first time.
Is
it three or Wrath of Khan?
No, you're right. It's part two.
Okay, because
that's when they get stuck on Genesis.
And I think
in the cave.
Oh, that's right. And basically, like, Kirk beams down, I think, to another ship, and he's like, "What have I done?" And Bones is like, "What you had to do." And
yeah, what you had to do. Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh God!" Like the Enterprise got destroyed. Yeah. I mean, true, that effect didn't last too long because they got an Enterprise like three movies later, and then every other movie the Enterprise gets destroyed. It kind of lost its luster after that. But...
Well, honestly, if you really look at how much it's been destroyed, it really hasn't been destroyed that much. Like total destruction of the Enterprise, and I'm talking new and generation.
Well, it's been hurt pretty badly. I mean,
it's taken a good beating.
Decent beatings. Like, I think in, Generations, it got destroyed.
Oh, Generations, yeah. And Generations is the one that really shut that one was almost as, like, profound to me as when I saw it get destroyed in Wrath of Khan. I had that same moment. Probably more so because I grew up with Next Generation more than I had, you know, the old ones. I watched the old ones with my grandparents, you know, every night. We'd sit down for dinner, and my grandpa would put a little portable TV on the dining room table, and we'd watch Star Trek. So that was a tradition. But I guess I always watched it, and I knew the stories. I didn't follow them. I didn't grow to learn the characters like I did with Next Generation. Because I remember the premiere of Next Generation. I had school the next day. I wanted to watch it so bad, and my mom's like, "It's a 2-hour pilot. You can't stay up that late." I'm like, "I will sleep on the couch. Wake me up." And she's like, "All right." And that's like one of those childhood, you know, moments that I remember of like, you know, being able to just curl up on the couch, pillow, blanket, watching the, you know, Next Generation. I think I actually finished the episode.
I wasn't really a fan of Next Generation for a while, but then I just started watching it and I grew into it. So
it took a while. It still had the original cheese to it, so to speak. And I think after, you know, like the third, fourth episode, it started to grow into the world that we were living into. They started addressing those morality tales that we were facing, no longer the ones from the 60s. And yes, I do apologize, folks. I know we crossed streams. We went from Star Wars to Star Trek. So we're so sorry.
Just had to use some symbolism. Anyway, let's go to the next frame right here, Mike.
No, right, don't cross the streams.
Yeah, we did. We got what looks like 3PO, Finn, and Poe on some kind of sail barge.
Yeah, that's why I thought the same thing too. I was like, I put down skiff. I'm like, I can't name anything else.
But it looked like a sail barge, and
looked like one of the beaten up Jabba ones, and it's good to see C-3PO out there with him. So you know he's no longer the secretary sitting back. He's back in the action, which I miss that kind of part of the tale, was having him involved, because he put a certain sort of levity and humor to the situations that they would get into.
Okay, so I'm going to get by that frame, and then we're going to go to this one, next one right here. Give me a second. And it looks like Rey is holding a medal, which appears to be the medal from the original movie.
Yes, it was, yeah. And actually, I don't think that's Rey. I think that's Leia's hands.
Think so? I thought
I do. Yeah. Well, look at the hands. I think that's Leia's hands. Because I'm just looking at the age on. You know, I have old hands too, so I'm okay with speaking about it. But yeah, I think that's Leia, and I think it's probably like Han's, you know, medal, since, you know, I'm sure he probably gave it to her at one point when they were married, and.
Or maybe that's Chewie's medal.
No, Chewie never got a medal.
I know.
Come on now.
No, better late than never.
Yeah. Right, maybe she's gonna give it to him. Hey, it's a hand-me-down. Sorry, dude.
Next scene we got here is Leia and Rey doing the embraces. Another another feel-good moment.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, that was.
It's
yeah,
just
that
a feel moment. It's that kind of hit me, just like the finality that you're never gonna see Carrie Fisher.
That was I almost at that too. Moment when I was looking at that, I was like, I think this is it. That's going to be an important moment in the movie, I think, because the way they're embracing each other made me think that this is the moment where Carrie's going to do something, or you know, that, or Rey, or you know, Leia's gonna do something to you know, make an important move, maybe sacrifice yourself, or this is the moment where Rey's like, I have to go and kill your son now. You know?
Yeah.
That moment I think is going to have a pivotal role in the overall movie.
Okay, let's see. In our next frame here, we have basically the whole crew together, and not R2. I don't know where R2 is in that frame. Kind of pisses me off.
We have the Pixar lamp. That little bastard.
That was a quick one. And he's in this next frame anyway. Dio.
Which I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
Dio, I mean, BBA, Chewbacca, C-3PO. We have Nathan Drake and Poe. Yeah. Finn with Han Solo's pants, and we got Rey.
Yeah, so. we got the whole gang back together, except for R2-D2, which I got issues with, and I just don't like the Pixar lamp. We don't need to see that kind of plug for another company.
And micro anyway. And I guess our final frame here is going to be of Rey looking onto what appears to be a destroyed Death Star.
Yeah, just sitting out there on the looks like a beach or water.
Beach, water. I mean it is a Death Star. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh yeah,
it's got that circling shape. There's no mistaking it. We know it's not the first one. I mean, not the second one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say That's the thing. Yeah, we still don't know which one it is. I mean, I know it could have landed on Endor, but Endor was a moon, so it could have crash landed on the main planet that moon was a part of. Remember, Endor was a moon to a bigger world.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So that either could be the planet that next Endor, which could be then the second one, or it could be the planet that was that would be Yavin.
And that's not
Yavin.
I don't think that's Yavin. Unless it's like another side of Yavin.
Because we see Yavin. They're on Yavin on certain parts of The Force Awakens. Isn't the Rebel base on Yavin?
I think so. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. So it can't be Yavin. That's why I don't know. I you and I talked about this last night. I mean, you and I both were like, yeah, no, it's the first one. But as I rewatched it today, I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, the closest planet would have been Yavin, and with natural crash land there. But then again, it could be the Death Star and it crash landed on whatever moon, or whatever planet the Endor was on.
I just keep thinking of that line by Obi-Wan. That's no moon. Yeah. Anyway, the trailer, we have our last part of it right here. It basically announces the title of the movie. And we have a very familiar laugh at the end of the trailer, Mike. And that was the biggest oh my god moment for me. And then afterwards, it was confirmed. Because after a while, I think it wasn't. But it's confirmed that, yes, kids, Emperor Palpatine is coming back. How? We don't know.
Yeah,
if you've ever read Legends,
there's so many options.
There's so many options they can do. I don't care. Either way, I'm glad he's back. It kind of adds, you got to have the Emperor there. You got to. He's been to be honest, we've never talked about favorite characters in Star Wars. My favorite character in Star Wars has always been Emperor Palpatine. Always. Not Luke, not Leia, not Han, not Chewie, not R2. It's always been Emperor Palpatine. Why? Because he controls every single situation he's in. From the Senate, he's a powerful Sith Lord. He's always in control. Even more than Vader, I like Palpatine. So having him back, I think, just puts a finality to the series. And as they said, the end of the Skywalker saga. So what do you think, Mike?
He has to be there. I do know he did show up at Celebration after the trailer. He showed up later in the evening. He was like one of the last panels of the day after they debuted this, that Ian McDonald, he came out and said hi to everybody. So yeah, it's definitely that he was there. I had heard he was going to be there, but there was always the they don't let the stories out, but it was always the rumor of him either being a Force ghost of some sort, or Kylo was he was going somewhere where you would see him, or he was a vision. Mm-hmm. For Kylo that's where he was going to be in. So, yeah, I mean, it's still up in the air as to what he is and where what he influences. Is he really there? Is he, if they take from the Legends, are they going that route too? It's just so many possibilities of what he could or could not be.
Man, I don't know.
That's why I was saying I don't want another trailer. I don't want to see another trailer.
I don't want anything. I'm good with what we got. Let's just wait.
Yeah, because
let us idiots speculate for the next 8 months on what's going to happen.
You know how much time they just how much show information they just gave us.
Yeah, you gave us basically freaking at least a year's worth that we could. I can break down that trailer literally more and more each time, and just tell you what I find. And
yeah, like I said, I mean, you and I talked one thing about something last night, and we were watching it today, and I'm like, no, I'm wrong. I don't think that's right. But yeah, no. Definitely to have Palpatine back is like they said, like JJ said at the beginning or after the trailer had come out, he did a few interviews, and he said that this is the end of the saga. This is the end of all three trilogies, not just the end of this trilogy. This is the wrap up, and that before he started filming, he went to George. They had a sit down meeting, and they had hashed this out. I don't know if George was getting writing credit or anything, or if it was just if JJ just went to him and said, how did you see this finale or, in your world? So I think we're going to get a good wrap up. I'm not a Last Jedi hater. I don't think this is going to completely fix what a lot of people out there hate. And I mean, when I say hate, I mean poisonly hate Star Wars. So I think they're just gonna be continuation and move forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't wait to what's gonna when it comes out actually. So just I mean look at it's just it's literally the end. I mean, these movies we literally grew up with. I mean, I was born literally when one began, and now I'm reaching as a middle aged man myself, and now literally it's gonna end, and this new trilogy for this new era is going to come, and just seeing that happen, it's just
we've got two new trilogies coming out soon. Yeah, so if they are finally putting a stamp on the Skywalker legacy, then that's going to tell us that the next two trilogies or next two movies coming out for them, they're going to grow. Which me and I know you as true Star Wars fans who love not just the movies, but the extended world that they have created, and they didn't just create these these side writers. They went to George Lucas in the beginning, and as they created these extended worlds, he himself was involved in creating these.
Yes, he was.
So it's it's not just somebody just writing a book going, oh, this would be a cool idea. No, they had to all get together, sit down, and go over what they wanted to do and how they wanted the worlds to grow.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to. I'm so ecstatic and so looking forward to the future of what Star Wars is going to offer. With
I think the future is bright. I mean, basically, when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, this was basically, hey, we're going to make a new trilogy. Do I think it's going to be as good as the older trilogies? No. I mean, so far it's been okay.
Nothing can be.
Nothing can be the original, the OG trilogy, and the prequels are what they are. And then you have this one. So it's Star Wars is generational. You had one moment, which is our era. Then you had another moment, which is our era also, but also a beginning of a newer era.
Yeah.
And then you have this era. So it's just like, hey, everybody's going to have their, their arguments, as we know many people who have arguments.
Yeah, I mean, it was our generation for the first three. My son's generation for the prequels, and he doesn't have any children, but he's at that age to where his children could be watching these. So yeah, it is generational, and I think with Star Wars, the first three, again, it's one of those moments. It's a lightning in the bottle. It was a time and a place. Technology was right on the edge. Things just were right for that to happen. And just like, it's the same thing with the Avengers movies, that we will never see anything like the MCU again. Again, it's just you're catching that lightning in a bottle that we've talked about on other shows before. And that's just one of those things. And I will always love Star Wars. It doesn't have to grab me and throw me in the back of my chair like I did with when I first saw Star Wars and Empire, especially Empire. I mean, I did love Star Wars, but
that's my favorite. Is
that
Empire.
First moment? Yeah, that those moments in Empire just are ingrained in me forever. And I just that's where we're gonna get more of those. We're gonna especially that, like with the Mandarin, sorry,
The Mandarin, yeah.
You and I couldn't. Series. We couldn't remember. We couldn't remember the Iron Man character. Now the villain. And now I can't get him out of my head.
He's got his own series. He's late. Guess what? But coming to Disney Plus is going to be The Mandarin.
But The Mandalorian, just watching that, I saw somebody quote it saying it's pretty much Star Wars meets Clint Eastwood, and
so Mike,
I'm on board.
Before we get into this Mandalorian thing, I just want to get your overall thoughts of what you've heard and seen on The Mandalorian so far. I mean, I know you're about to bust into your spiel, but I know you're looking forward to this, so I'm just gonna give you the air for a couple minutes because I really want to know what you think because I have my take on it. I'd be fascinated to hear yours.
So today, what they were doing today was that they had released some trailers. Have you gotten a chance to see the trailer for Mandalorian that they released today?
It wasn't really a trailer. It was just sort of like scenes.
Now, are you talking about the still or the actual video?
The stills.
Oh, no, they actually released a video today of The Mandalorian, and it shows it. It's a small like tease, and then then they talk to some of the cast and crew. And basically, which I think is so cool, is because they were talking to John Feige about it, and then they were talking to the directors. And basically what they did is they got different directors to do different episodes. And it's not, you know, you've got John doing one, you've got, I'm trying to remember the name, Robert Rodriguez. It looks like Robert Rodriguez is doing one episode. And you've got, like, different main, these big directors doing this. And basically what they're saying is this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So now it's, you know, not fully post. So I think we're going to see some of the tension. But it's basically a gunslinger movie. They explained it as Clint Eastwood in Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated to see this. I mean, this is going to be just so interesting. I mean, I cannot wait. I mean, the thing that I'm fascinated about is like, where the hell were the Mandalorians when this was going on? Like the whole, you know, hey, you know, what's you got, you know, hey, this is what happened.
Well, I think if you go back to the Clone Wars, because this is going to tie directly into the Clone Wars, the Mandalorians were there. I think they were just so tied up in their own issues and not getting involved. Because if you remember those episodes that took place on that planet of the Mandalorians, they had some messed up things going on their planet, so I don't know if they were really that involved with what the Emperor was doing.
I guess they weren't.
And maybe this will do is we'll explain that, hey, yeah, we know what was going on. We couldn't, and maybe he's one of the last of them. You know, there was always that talk when Boba first came out was, you know, Empire, like, who is this guy? Mandalorian, what is that? What is that? Is he? And there was always, like, the little side story that, oh, he was the last of the Mandalorians. But, you know, really, when we all found out, it wasn't the case. He just stole the armor.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
They'll take that concept that people had and of him, and maybe that's what this guy is, that he is that bounty hunter that we've always wanted Boba to be, but he's truly a Mandalorian, and he's got a code. He's not, you know, he's not a... You know, he's not tied to a bounty hunter code, but he's tied to the Mandalorian code, which they had a very strict, almost, you know, samurai style kind of code for themselves. So,
you know what I liked about the trailer is he didn't have his helmet off.
No,
he didn't have his helmet off
during the when you watch the little video, you'll see like he'll have his helmet off. You know, as he's talking, but he's in the armor. The armor's definitely a change from what we remember of Boba's style, and because
it's more darker, not as
streamlined. Yeah, it's a darker tones, but very streamlined, not so panely and armory. Like it's armor, but it's more smoothed out armor. Even the helmet's a little different.
Yeah, slightly. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't wait. It looks so good. I mean, everything about it is just, you know, it's. For me, the Star Wars geek in me is going to like this, I think, more than any of the movies that have coming out. Even more than 9, I'm looking forward to this. So,
Yeah, it'll definitely be a big one. I just hope there's people out there that'll be willing to give it a chance and to watch it. Just don't go, well, that's not my Boba. It's not my Mandalorian. No, just give it a shot. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised in what they offer in the writing. And like I said, if you look at the directors that are on set for this, like I said, John Feige's out there. He's got a different director on almost every episode. and they're just not, and they're just and not.
They had Favreau, because I saw a little bit of the streaming. They had Favreau on there. They had oh man, who was the guy who did Clone Wars? The guy with the cowboy hat. Dave Filoni was on there. Gina Carano was on there. Carl Weathers was on the panel.
He's part of the characters. Actually, the way he looks real good.
Dude, Carl Weathers looks good.
Yeah,
still.
I'm glad Chubb's got his hand back though. I was worried about that.
Yeah, me too. I was kind of concerned. You know, it had been a while since Chubb's.
Now
on
you know sand, what I really would love to see this the Mandalorian really do is, because they do it so well in Clone Wars, is to extend that bounty hunter world more. I'd love to see Cad Bane show up on Mandalorian or some of those characters. What was the one pirate king guy?
I know who you're talking about.
I would love to see, like, if not him, but
Cad Bane is just okay. Cad Bane.
He's just that classic look, and he fits into that gunfighter style.
He even looks like a cowboy. Have you seen the look of him? He has that cowboy type of hat. Oh, yeah. He has that cool type of way he talks, like almost like a slur Western style. Yep. Like, hey, you know, if you don't know who Cad Bane is, kids, watch Clone Wars.
Yeah, great character. Great.
Great character. And he had an arc on there, which is really,
yeah,
really
that
cool.
Arc, yeah, that was a strong, really strong arc. That's what really got me to like him.
I mean, like I've told you before, the first season of Clone Wars kind of rough to watch. But if you get through it, it does pick up. And when they start including the side missions and the stuff with the Jedi and the Sith, gets faster.
It opens up the world so much more.
And I think that's been our argument for the longest time, especially, you know, me and you, we're very open Star Wars fans, as old school as we are. We want to see newer stuff. I mean, I love the Skywalkers. We grew up with them. But you know what? As Kylo Ren says, let the past die and let's move on and create new stories, new characters. And the Mandalorian is going to be the beginning of this. Cassian Andor is going to be the beginning of this.
Did you see they did announce Alan Tudyk will be on to reprise his voice for I'm trying to remember the android's name now from Rogue One. Shoot. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just signed on to come back and do the voice. So hopefully we'll see moments.
Oh, Alan Tudyk. Yeah. Alan Tudyk.
That's what I said.
Yeah, he's got. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But he's coming back. I can't remember the name of that character.
K2SO.
That is, yeah.
Yay!
So that's gonna be that's a good pull. But so they'll be that. I think also they were talking about, and I'm going to screw this one up too, for Mandalorian. I thought they had mentioned the robot bounty hunter was going to be on there.
Oh, you're talking about IG-88?
Yes, IG. Yeah, whoa, I had read. I was like, yeah, you're doing good on the droids. I think we're going to keep you around for the droids, man.
I think you should. The droids are the only ones I can get. I can't get human names, but I get the droid just fine.
Yeah, you're doing good on that. So, but yeah, I had heard talk of him coming in. So, I mean, I think that'll be a really good, good pull in for like the old school old school guys. I think Mandalorian will be a good way to bring in the older school fans, because it's just 5 years afterwards, so you're still gonna have that freshness of the look, the stormtroopers that they showed on there. They were straight out of the original trilogy. There was no tweaks or anything. It was the bulbous looking, helmets and stuff. So I think that'll be a good one to make people more comfortable. You know, let's bring them into something that they will sort of recognize, and then we can grow. And this is, the first ever Star Wars television series, live action. So that's groundbreaking alone.
What are you talking about? You don't include the holiday.
I said series. That was a holiday special, and oh brother, was it special!
Woo boy, that was some good times.
And anytime you can have B. Arthur as a bartender, you can't go wrong there.
Cannot go wrong with B. Arthur, man.
Oh, if you guys want some gems, do check out. Somebody sent it to me about 2 months ago. I think maybe you did. Or maybe it got passed around and it came from everybody at one point. There's a video of Mark Hamill doing a German show. It's like all like Star Wars, and it's all in German, so you're not going to understand a word. But like, he's dancing with somebody else on top of an X-Wing flying through space.
What?
It's, I'll have to find it again. So if you guys really want to delve deep, deep into that Star Wars, and you want to get down to the bowels in the Sarlacc pit, this is what you're going to want to do. I'm going to try to find it. I'm going to have to post it on Heroes Asylum, our Facebook page, so you guys can check that one out. That is a gem that must be shared.
Oh, my God. I remember that video that he did for that for the Star Wars Christmas special. I keep thinking about that, like where he's dressed in that disco outfit.
It's all talking about the Force. We know what the Force was back then. So that is everything that I have, and I don't know if you have anything more to add on the trailer other than wow, I can't wait.
Yeah. I can't wait. I mean, it's good stuff, Clone Wars and that.
Yep.
And I can't wait. I
think the trailer covered everything. It brought in, kind of brought us back around, showed us the new cast, showed us primarily the new cast, had a couple of good heartwarming feels for us, old schoolers, with Leia and Lando and Chewie back in the cockpit of, the Falcon. The guys that did this, that did the editing for this, knew exactly what they were doing. They hit
hit the right feels. I mean, not to hate on Rian Johnson. He did a good job for what he had, but this is the Star Wars. I mean, I like Last Jedi. I'm one of the defenders of it, but it's been so divisive with Last Jedi. I mean, which kind of sucks because you never want to see that. But
I think also it's not just him. I think it's the fact that this is the last one too, and we all know it's the last one that makes this moment even more special. That's the big thing is it's that this is the last one and this is the last time we're going to see that, so it's if Ryan was doing this one, we would still have the same feelings because again, it's the last.
Last one. It's just, I mean, what else do you got, Mike?
That is it. I mean, really, that was it. You and I were scrambling for some stuff to talk about. We knew Celebration was coming up, so until we were waiting until Friday and for the ball to drop, so to speak, and it did it ever, from Disney Plus taking more of my money to Star Wars this Christmas taking more of my money. We will definitely be doing a Star Wars catch up, I want to call it, closer to the time. I think what we're going to do is do a show. We've already done our extended universe a bit. I think what we're going to end up doing is a actual rundown of the trilogy. So, like, maybe a week before before this one drops. So we will hopefully have some guest phone-ins on that one, because we want to not just want to have our opinions. I think we want to have a couple other people, chiming in, new and old fans alike.
Yeah, and hopefully certain fans can, just leave their hatred behind and, just grow one with the Force and, just respect what's coming out and, you may not have to like it, but just, embrace change. Sometimes change can be good, Mike.
Yes.
Sometimes change can be good. We cannot be stingy in our ways forever, so.
Very true, very true. So guys, just thank you again. We are always thankful for you guys to listening and downloading. The list of merry men joining us and downloading and listening is growing every day, and I just cannot thank you guys enough for it. We are reaching out to more and more people now, and it's really a big part for you guys. So thank you very much. But always, like always, when you guys do tell anybody about us, or if you're listening for the first time, make sure you guys get to heroesasylum.com. That's going to get you to us. All of our shows are listed there. All of our archive is there, and links to your favorite podcasting or your podcast, listening device or apps are their links there, because we're on every one of them. So just find a website, sign up, guys. We do have a mailing, an email list there. So jump on and get into the asylum, basically, where there's always, we got more room for everybody.
Yes, I did. And, Stitcher. What did I say, Stitcher? We're on Stitcher. Yeah we're Stitcher, on iTunes, Spotify. Sorry, a little whacked out.
It's
week.
Okay.
A lot of, yeah. stuff going on.
Celebration took it out of you. It's okay. I've been there.
Yeah, tell me about it. So what was I saying? Oh, I was giving the plugs. Stitcher, Instagram, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes. Not on YouTube yet, maybe someday. All that good stuff. And just please reach us, tweet at us. And we have a Facebook page. We always post stuff on the Facebook page. Very active on the Facebook page. And it was not like I told you before. It's not any kind of webmaster or some guy who's 16 years old and making believe he owns the page. It's actually me and Mike communicating on there. So you can get at us there anytime.
And we do having conversations on there, guys. Trust us, we do like to have a little bit of banter, so it's always fun. And without, like I said, more the merrier. There's always more people, more room, and more cells here. So
yes, the more conversations we have, we love having conversations about every single thing. I drop news on there almost every single day, at every single minute of the day. Literally, I mean, literally, you'll see news up to date really fast. The minute it drops, it's going to be on the page. So just pay attention there for where we're going to be next. As Mike has said, he was at Daytona Comic Con, so we're going to start doing the con slowly but surely. And can't wait to meet you guys. And like I said, free, download, share, like, and join us. Be part of the asylum.
All right, folks. Mike. Yes. So like I try to end every week, in the famous words of a mentor of ours, Sweaties United. And you guys have a good weekend, or a good week, actually.
Get to the asylum.